granted. It will ask questions to which you may assume you have ready answers. Our first question is, do you assume man has landed on the moon? If your answer is no, then this video will surprise you. If you do not take for granted that man had in actuality flown to and landed upon the moon and then flown back to Earth safely, then you are a true skeptic, and you will appreciate this video's powers of rational questioning, its scientific show-me-prove-it style. It's both unexpected and refreshing. On the other hand, if you answer yes to the question, have men actually flown to and landed upon the moon and so forth, then this video may irritate and annoy you. The handheld camera shots are not Hollywood lighted and not pre-staged. They are raw, ill-lighted, and shot under the glare of federal officials and their guards whose eyes, in some cases, blaze with hatred and contempt and the urge to arrest and officially punish. So we apologize in advance for a lack of slickness. In fact, roughness is the form true investigations and evidence usually takes. Evidence is neither huge nor glaring, and it can be small and hidden and difficult to see. And often, as you will see in this video, evidence of government lies are kept from the public's eyes behind wires, stone walls, and gates of secrecy. So instead of looking for the slickness that professional image makers have taught us to believe is truth, look instead and listen to a video that does not attempt to form your thoughts and control your thinking. This is a video that provokes your thought. It asks the unaskable questions and does not take governmental answers as gospel. So if your answer is no, I am in doubt about a man on the moon, then here is some of the evidence that you may wonder about. And for you who say, yes, I saw the moonwalk on TV, we simply ask that you suspend your annoyance with our improper questions while you see this video to its conclusion.
My name is Jim Collier. I'm an investigative reporter, and this is an open letter to Frank Hughes. Frank Hughes is the man in charge of astronaut training at Johnson Space Center in Houston. He trains the astronauts now, and Frank, you trained them back in 1969 through 72 in the Apollo mission, so you were the expert that I got when I called NASA and spoke to Audrey Schwartz in the press department and said, I need an expert to answer some questions, and you've been very kind in answering, but here is the entire problem, or as much as I can get into this two-hour tape. What happened was, is a man named Ralph Rene came to me several years ago with a manuscript for a book called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, and he was a physicist who had studied, a self-styled physicist, I guess the press will call him after this, but he knows his physics really well. And I was incredulous, like most people, that we didn't go to the moon. And I started investigating him. And then I found out that he got his information, or a lot of it, from a man named Bill Kaysing, who worked for Rocketdyne as a man who wrote scientific papers for the scientists, and he had a gray pass, which meant he could go anywhere and see anything. And he saw a lot of propulsion experiments, etc., and he wrote a book called We Never Went to the Moon.
Astronaut James Lovell of Apollo 13 called Kaysing a wacko for claiming we never went to the moon. Kaysing, who's been investigating NASA for 20 years, is suing Lovell for libel. The trial takes place October 7th in Santa Cruz, California. Kaysing analyzed NASA photos and came to the conclusion they were all taken on Earth. The results have been printed in media around the world. Notice the upper right-hand corner of this photo. It was supposed to have been taken on the moon, yet the ceiling beams are clearly evident. Here's a close-up of those beams. In January 1997, London-based 40 and Times printed an analysis of NASA's film footage by award-winning British cinematographer David Percy. Percy came to the same conclusion as Bill Kaysing: all the photos were faked. Both based their conclusions on shadows running in the wrong direction or running in two directions at once, indicating spotlights were used. The sun also appears to be originating from a spotlight, as there is a halo around it. There can be no halo where there is no atmosphere. Percy is doing a BBC documentary on all this, and it will appear in London and around the world sometime this year. He's an award-winning cinematographer who is writing a book called Whistleblowers, and it should be out in 1997. This famous shot is in almost every NASA book. You can see in the faceplate that the astronaut taking the photo of this astronaut has no camera, and the camera is shooting down on the head of the astronaut, making the camera at least 8 feet high. That's impossible. They were both on level ground in front of the spaceship. This famous shot is filled with anomalies, including tracks on the moon surface. You can see the antenna on top of the crosshair, and the crosshair is etched into the camera. Couldn't be there. And just above this crosshair, the picture is airbrushed out. This famous rock has a Roman numeral C on it. Could not happen. And it also appears to be sculpted or paper mache'd. How can you have a round rock in where there's no atmosphere, wind, rain, to round that rock? So I went to investigate the LEM, that strange contraption that supposedly landed them on the moon. It never flew on Earth, Frank. It never flew on Earth. So I said, well, who invented this thing? I went to Grumman Aircraft, and they're in Bethpage, Long Island, and I said, give me all the material that showed how this was developed. What thought went into it? And so when it crashed on Earth and never flew once, I said to myself, why would the astronauts' wives let them go to the moon and test it out there? I mean, you'd have to be wacko to do that. And a funny thing happened, Frank. They told me all the paperwork had been destroyed, that all they had was some PR pieces, a couple of photos, you know, not even photos, they had drawings. And I found that incredible. You spent $30 billion to go to the moon, and all the paperwork's been flushed down the toilet. So I went to the archives in Washington, and I went to the archives at NASA, and I went to you. There's no paperwork. The man who invented the LEM should have won the Nobel Prize. His paperwork on what made him think this would work should be in every museum that NASA has, but it's nowhere. And so the taxpayers spent $30 billion, Frank, on what half the world thinks is a hoax. This is the lunar module falling freely toward the moon.
Clear.
Frank, let's start with this book by Jeffrey Kluger. It was on the Apollo 13 adventure, and Kluger worked with astronaut James Lovell and with NASA, and so I assume everything in here is as accurate as that investigative reporter could be. All right, Frank, this is the limb, and this should have looked like a rocket. You can see how it's back here. It's lopsided. And these jets, this one, they're on the top. The theory being that when these jets fired, this is the rocket that held this thing up. When these fired, it should have tipped it over immediately. I want to know the scientific principle, the aerodynamic principle, that would have kept this contraption from tipping as soon as these top rockets fired, because we see it later, you'll see, going along the moon's surface, and it's going horizontal to the ground. In other words, these were making it move. But if it's floating on this 10,000 pounds of thrust right here, and these shoot off, what scientific principle would keep this thing from tipping down and turning and spinning and crashing to the ground?
This simulator, the limb, flew once on Earth, and it blew up, almost killing Neil Armstrong, who bailed out. The limb never flew on Earth.
Now, Frank, one of the most important parts of this investigation was whether they could get in and out of the limb. And it says in this a book by Jeffrey Kluger is that an overlooked fact of the lunar module design was that the door opened inward toward them instead of out, which made it almost impossible for them to get out. It says here that the size inside the limb where the two astronauts were was barely the size of two phone booths. And I measured that. It was 24 inches by 36 inches, and I don't believe they could have gotten out, but we'll see.
We're at Space Center Houston. I have a meeting here with Frank Hughes. Frank Hughes is the chief in charge of astronaut training. He was the only man, he claims, who's left from the Apollo missions, and anything Frank Hughes says should probably be considered gospel.
This is a simulator of the crew cabin.
Remember,
in the limb.
This is not a wall here. This
I know, but he couldn't get his backpack past the bars that are here. So even though it went back, you couldn't back up because there were metal bars across here. So he could not back straight in.
I don't know about bars.
Well, you'll see him up there.
There's an